Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
These two guys, they actually attempted to build the stairway to heaven.
Right. It's an astonishing story, truly.
We're diving into a really astonishing and, well, tragic tale today. It's a story that, you know, pushes the boundaries of human ambition, resilience, and ultimately, fate.
It really does.
So our mission for this deep dive is basically to reconstruct the remarkable journey of these two brothers, Earl and Brock Lee. They embark on this construction project. It's so audacious. I mean, it really sounds like something out of a myth.
Mm-hmm.
We'll explore, you know, the genesis of their obsession, the physical reality of this incredible feat of engineering they pulled off for a time. And then the sudden, just heartbreaking end to their celestial ambition, all based on the accounts we actually have.
What's truly striking, I think, about this pursuit is just its inherent defiance of logic. It's baffling from the start. I mean, what compels individuals to dedicate years, maybe even their entire lives, to something that seems so impossible? It presents this profound paradox right from the beginning, you know, a narrative that forces us to question the limits of human aspiration, especially when, as you'll see, external circumstances seem to ignite such a singular, unprecedented endeavor. Conventional wisdom just says this is doomed, yet they kept going.
Absolutely. And to really grasp that paradox, we had to back to the beginning, the very seed of this extraordinary thing. We find ourselves in 1915. It's a time of pretty significant change across America. And the brothers, Earl and Brock Lee, they make this pivotal decision. They move to Jazz City, Utah. But importantly, not for some grand mystical calling, right? It was for the most practical reason, work.
Just ordinary life, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This wasn't some sudden flight of fancy. It's a grounded, relatable choice. Driven by the desire for opportunity, a new beginning, you know, like countless others seeking their fortunes in growing cities back then.
Makes sense.
And they pretty quickly secured jobs in construction. So they're establishing a perfectly ordinary, almost mundane foundation for their lives in this new city. They're working men, hands-on, contributing to the, you know, the physical fabric of Jazz City.
Mm-hmm.
Laying bricks, framing houses, maybe.
Standard stuff.
Right. This detail is crucial because it paints this picture of two individuals firmly rooted in the tangible world. Skilled laborers, applying their craft to conventional earthly structures. There's just nothing in their initial path that hints at the monumental singular obsession that is about to consume them, which makes their eventual undertaking all the more perplexing and, frankly, compelling.
It really is compelling to consider how these initially ordinary circumstances become the unlikely groundwork for such an extraordinary deviation. Like you said, this wasn't some isolated, eccentric pursuit born in a vacuum. It sprang directly from the practical realities of two skilled tradesmen. So it makes you wonder, what kind of trigger could possibly morph a mundane start like this into such a monumental, unique ambition? Were there, like, latent predispositions, maybe? Or did some external catalyst just profoundly reroute their perception of what was possible, so much so that they abandoned all conventional thought? Their foundation in the physical world of construction, well, it soon finds itself applied to something utterly impractical, by any earthly standard, anyway.
And you hit on that catalyst. Just a few months into their new lives, their new jobs, this pivotal event occurs. It irrevocably alters Brock's trajectory. He's struck in the head by a piece of debris at work.
Ooh, nasty.
Yeah. And this isn't a minor injury. It necessitates a period of time off, a forced, unexpected pause in his life. You can almost picture it. The clang of metal, the sudden impact, the immediate disorientation. And in 1915, well, workplace safety standards are vastly different.
Absolutely. An understanding of head trauma was rudimentary at best.
Exactly. So this isn't just a physical wound. It strikes at the core of his being, a violent interruption to his newfound routine.
Right.
But the physical recovery, as the accounts note, is far from the whole story. The source states quite starkly that after this accident, Brock was never quite the same.
That phrase.
It's a profoundly crucial detail, isn't it? It hints at a lasting change that goes way beyond superficial healing. It suggests a fundamental shift, maybe in his personality, his cognitive processes, or even his entire worldview. What does never quite the same truly mean for a man's mind and spirit?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Is it a subtle alteration in his demeanor? A new intensity in his gaze.
Yeah.
or a complete reordering of his priorities and perceptions. The phrase carries immense weight. It implies a transformation that sets him on a fundamentally new, unexpected path.
It really makes you wonder about the specific implications of that phrase, never quite the same.
Mm.
Does it imply, say, a physical impairment that shifted his focus, or a cognitive alteration that genuinely opened new pathways of thought, or maybe even a kind of spiritual awakening that redefined his whole purpose? The ambiguity there is key, I think.
It is.
It forces us to ponder the profound ways trauma, especially brain trauma, can reshape perception and ambition, potentially leading to ideas that would otherwise seem, well, utterly unfathomable. It suggests a kind of internal rewiring, maybe, where the practical realities of construction that once grounded him might give way to a more abstract, almost mystical understanding of what could be built. Did this injury and some bizarre twist actually liberate his mind from conventional constraints, allowing him to perceive a grander yet far more dangerous vision?
It seems possible. Because it's in this altered state, right after the accident, that Brock conceives the idea. And the vision is just immense, audacious, seemingly impossible to build a stairway to heaven.
Just
picture him recovering, maybe confined to his small Jazz City home, his thoughts drifting. And then this monumental, almost divine concept takes root. This isn't a practical blueprint for a home or a bridge. It's a direct challenge to the very limits of human engineering and earthly existence itself.
Yeah, it's on a whole different level.
This idea isn't born from economic necessity or urban planning. It springs from a place of deep personal conviction, maybe even a newfound sense of purpose emerging from the fog of his injury. Mm-hmm. The sheer scale, the almost spiritual nature of the project. It must have been breathtaking to anyone who heard it, let alone someone considering actually doing it.
You'd think so.
And what's truly interesting here is Earl's reaction. His brother. He doesn't immediately jump on board.
Oh, Earl?
No. Which, you know, you might expect, given the sheer audacity of the idea. The account notes it takes a little convincing before Earl decides he will help.
Okay, that's telling.
It is. It offers crucial insight into the dynamic between the brothers. It suggests Earl is likely the more pragmatic, the more grounded one of the two. Tethered to conventional reality.
Right. He'd be thinking about the practicalities.
Exactly. He would have weighed the impossibility, the resources needed, the sheer monumental effort required. Yet, ultimately, he is swayed by his brother's vision, or perhaps just by the force of Brock's conviction.
What kind of persuasion could that have been?
Right. Is it Brock's quiet, relentless determination? Or is it a fraternal loyalty so deep it just transcends all logic? This moment is critical, though, because it transforms a singular, almost fantastical notion into a shared, tangible pursuit.
What this suggests, then, is that it's not just Brock's initial spark, maybe born from trauma, but it's Earl's eventual commitment that elevates this singular, impossible notion into a shared, actionable project.
Good point.
It really compels us to ask, what level of conviction, what depth of that fraternal bond, or maybe what unique understanding is required for one person to persuade another, persuade them to dedicate their lives to such an unprecedented construction? It suggests Brock's transformation post-injury must have instilled in him this almost unshakable belief that somehow becomes, well, contagious.
Mm.
Earl, in his pragmatism, must have seen something beyond mere delusion. Perhaps he perceived a profound shift in his brother that he felt compelled to support. Or maybe, just maybe, he himself was simply captivated by the sheer, magnificent impossibility of it all. This collaborative leap of faith. That's what makes the story so deeply compelling, I think.
I agree. So, with their shared vision solidified, and it must have seemed utterly outlandish to anyone outside their immediate sphere, mm-hmm. the brothers take the next decisive step. They move. They find and settle into a small house on the side of a mountain.
Right. Significant choice.
Very. This location isn't arbitrary. It speaks directly to the nature of their immense project. They don't just rent a flat in Jazz City. They seek out a specific, elevated, and probably secluded spot. This choice shows a strategic, almost symbolic commitment to their goal, positioning themselves literally closer to their objective from day one.
And maybe away from prying eyes.
Could we? It suggests a desire for isolation, perhaps, for a space where they can labor without interruption or the scrutiny of a skeptical public, away from the judging eyes of conventional society.
Makes sense for something unconventional.
And from this mountain dwelling, they begin construction. That simple phrase, it really hides the monumental undertaking it represents.
It's just the beginning.
It's the starting gun for what would become years of tireless labor. a daily commitment to a project that will test their physical limits, their mental fortitude, their shared resolve. Picture the slow, painstaking process. Gathering materials, the rudimentary tools they would have had back then, the sheer physical exertion required to lay each piece of the structure, all the while knowing they are building upwards into the very sky.
Against gravity, against logic.
This isn't a weekend hobby. It's a complete reorientation of their lives around a single, all-consuming purpose.
Yeah.
Every sunrise must signal another day of relentless work towards their impossible goal.
A key element here really is the sheer dedication implied by this commitment. Moving to a mountain specifically to begin a project of this scale, it speaks volumes about their focus, their singular purpose.
It really does.
This isn't some casual endeavor. It demands complete immersion. A discarding of conventional life for an extraordinary, maybe even obsessive, quest. The choice of location inherently suggests a long-term, arduous commitment. Building upwards from a strong natural base. It tells us they aren't merely dreaming of a stairway, they are fully committed to manifesting it piece by piece against all odds, defying both common sense and the formidable forces of nature. This isn't just a place to live, it's become an operational headquarters for a project of absolutely unprecedented ambition.
And the time frame of their work. That's crucial too for understanding the true scale of their commitment. They work after a couple of years.
That's significant.
It is. This isn't a short-term project, not something completed in weeks or months. It represents a huge chunk of their lives, highlighting sustained effort, incredible resilience, and an unwavering, almost unshakable focus.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what a couple of years means in the early 20th century. It's an enormous investment of time, resources, physical strength, especially for a project yielding no immediate practical benefit.
Nothing tangible in the usual sense.
Right. It signifies a profound level of perseverance. Where day after day, week after week, they just continue to build, driven by this vision that seems to defy all earthly logic, all gravitational pull.
Incredible dedication.
And the result of these years of labor, it's truly remarkable. They successfully build the stairway up to about cloud level.
Cloud level, just let that sink in.
Exactly. Consider that for a moment.
Yeah.
A physical structure climbing so high it actually disappears into the sky, touching the very heavens they seem to be aiming for. This is where their dream transcends mere concept and becomes a tangible, albeit, well, elusive reality.
It's no longer just an idea.
No, it ceases to be merely an idea, perhaps born from a head injury, and becomes an undeniable, visible marvel, stretching towards the unreachable. Imagine standing at the base, looking up, and seeing this man-made structure just vanish into the ethereal mist.
It's image, isn't it?
It conjures awe and wonder, maybe even fear, at the sheer audacity of human endeavor. They have, against all reason, achieved something truly unprecedented.
Which begs the question, what does about cloud level truly signify? In terms of engineering, atmospheric challenges, especially with 1915 technology.
Good question. What would that involve?
Well, you're talking about pressures that would test the absolute limits of known materials. Wood, maybe early steel. Picture the sheer logistical nightmare of just hoisting structural beams hundreds, maybe thousands of feet up without modern cranes.
Yeah, how do they do that?
Battling not just gravity, but unpredictable wind gusts, icing, the thinner air itself. It's mind-boggling. It wasn't just about achieving height. It was about withstanding an entirely different atmospheric environment, a constant battle against the elements. This was an achievement that truly pushes the boundaries of what's conceivable at the time, not just in its intent, but in its physical manifestation, almost suggesting a disregard for the limitations of physics.
A profound disregard. But then, the culmination of their monumental effort arrives tragically in the year 1917.
Just 2 years later.
Yes. This specific date grounds the story in a historical moment. It brings a stark sense of immediacy to their fate. It signifies not a slow decline or a gradual failure, but a sudden, violent end to their incredible project and to their lives.
It wasn't decay, it was impact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The story isn't one of gradual abandonment or engineering failure due to wear and tear. It's a dramatic, abrupt collision of different worlds, different ambitions. A moment when two distinct trajectories cross with devastating finality.
Unbelievable timing.
And into their world, their unique project, enters a third party. A man named Ray Zenz.
Ray Zenz.
The source tells us he is flying his personal plane.
Okay. Aviation pioneer era.
Precisely. This detail provides essential context. It reflects an era where personal aviation is still relatively new, a daring frontier in itself, and perhaps far less regulated or standardized than today.
Definitely less regulated.
It's a time of pioneering aviators, where the skies aren't yet crisscrossed by established flight paths and air traffic control doesn't exist. Raizen's represents the cutting edge of a different kind of human ambition. Conquering the air, navigating the wild blue yonder.
Two different frontiers colliding.
His presence introduces an element of the completely unexpected, a marvel of modern technology colliding with what feels like an ancient, almost mythological dream.
What's truly striking here is that sheer confluence of independent, pioneering spirits. It's incredible when you think about it.
It is.
On one hand, you have the brothers building vertically, pushing architectural limits with this almost mystical, deeply spiritual goal. On the other, you have Zens navigating the skies, embracing a new frontier in travel, a powerful symbol of human ingenuity and freedom. This compels us to ask, how do independent human endeavors, both ambitious and maybe seemingly mundane, how do they tragically intersect in such unforeseen ways? It's a collision not just of plane and structure, but of two very different visions of progress, of aspiration, each pushing its own boundaries with relentless force. Neither party could have possibly anticipated the other, you know. Yet their paths are destined to cross in the most catastrophic manner. It's a stark reminder of the unpredictable nature of progress itself.
And the collision itself. It's accidental. Raizen's accidentally crashes into the stairway.
Just an accident.
Yes. There's no intent, no malice, no deliberate act of destruction. Just an unthinkable fatal impact. It isn't a planned demolition or an attack. It's pure unadulterated accident, a random event with devastating consequences.
Which almost makes it worse somehow.
The sheer randomness of it makes the tragedy all the more poignant, I think. A stark testament to how even the most extraordinary human endeavors are vulnerable to the unpredictable forces of chance. It underlines the profound fragility of even the most monumental constructions when faced with an unforeseen external force. A force as seemingly innocuous as... well, as a passing cloud.
A cloud.
Because the reason for the crash is directly linked to the stairway's very success, to its defining feature. Zenz is unable to see it due to how cloudy it was.
Oh, the irony.
The clouds, the very essence of heaven they were aiming for, become the fatal blind spot, the ultimate, most chilling irony of their grand design.
Unbelievable.
What is meant to be their triumph, their physical connection to the celestial, transforms into the shroud of their undoing. The very height that makes their achievement remarkable also makes it perilously invisible. A phantom in the sky that an aviator, pioneering his own path, cannot detect until it is far, far too late.
It's such a cruel twist of fate. Their aspiration quite literally obscures the danger, a tragic consequence of reaching too high.
Yeah.
The broader implication here. It's a profound commentary on the inherent and, well, profound risks of such singular ambition. The cloud-hidden nature of the stairway, which, you know, might have been seen as mystical or awe-inspiring, it transforms into an inescapable vulnerability.
Right.
It makes you wonder, was the stairway's very aspiration to reach the heavens its ultimate built-in flaw? Did its success in touching the cloud simultaneously seal its fate? And its builder's fate.
It feels like it.
It suggests that sometimes the very elements that make a grand vision unique also contain the seeds of its destruction. The irony is just stark and chilling. They build it so high that it becomes part of the very phenomenon, the clouds that brings about its end. A final poetic injustice.
And the physical consequence of that impact is just...
absolute.
The stairway comes crumbling.
Like a whole thing.
Imagine the sheer scale of that collapse.
Yeah.
A monument to a dream. Years of painstaking labor reduced to rubble in an instant. The sound alone must have been cataclysmic. A thunderous roar as wood, metal, stone, whatever they used, just detaches from the mountain and cascades downwards, erasing the very existence of this impossible structure.
Gone in moments.
It isn't just a few pieces. It's the entire edifice. A testament to human will and audacity, disintegrating before anyone can fully comprehend what's happened. The mountain, once their foundation, now witnesses its undoing.
A terrible sight.
And the brothers, Earl and Brock, they are in the most precarious position possible. They are at the top of it when it crumbles.
Oh, no. Right at the top.
Right at the very top.
Yeah.
Their aspirations, their lives, their creation all meet their end at the pinnacle of their ambition. They are quite literally at the apex of their life's work when it all comes crashing down. a poetic yet agonizing end to their journey.
Unimaginable.
They're touching the clouds, perhaps even believing they are reaching their celestial goal in their final moments.
Fred.
The source is clear and unambiguous about the final outcome. Obviously, the brothers and Ray didn't survive the accident.
Obvious, yeah.
A stark, immediate, and utterly tragic end to three lives. The brothers, who had dedicated years to their audacious project, and the pilot, Ray Zenz, who was charting new frontiers in the sky, all perish. In this singular, improbable collision, it's a definitive end to a story that began with such incredible, almost fantastical ambition, leaving only echoes of a dream.
What's truly striking here is just the complete destruction of the physical manifestation of their dream, along with the lives of all those involved, the suddenness and finality of it. It underscores the inherent fragility of even the most monumental human endeavors.
Yes.
It reminds us that even the grandest constructions are subject to the caprices of fate and the unforgiving laws of physics. The idea that the very peak of their achievement becomes the precise location of their demise, it's incredibly poignant, a chilling final punctuation mark on their story.
It really is.
It leaves us to consider the ultimate cost of unchecked ambition, perhaps, and how the pursuit of the impossible can sometimes lead to irreversible, all-consuming consequences. The stairway and its final devastating act just pulls its creators down with it. A true tragedy.
So what does this all mean for us, you know, listening to this tale of immense aspiration, relentless dedication, and just an utterly unforeseen tragedy? The story of Earl and Broccoli and their stairway to heaven, it's one that truly stays with you, doesn't it?
It does.
A testament to what people will attempt when driven by a singular, overwhelming vision. It's a story that challenges our perceptions of sanity, ambition, the boundaries of human possibility, even when faced with what seems utterly unachievable.
And this compels us to consider the nature of ambition and finality, especially when we think about that closing sentiment from the source material. Because despite the devastating conclusion, the account states quite chillingly, in their own way, they reached their goal.
That line is truly provocative, isn't it? What does reaching their goal truly mean when their physical creation crumbles and their lives end?
Exactly. What does it mean?
Was the goal the act of building itself? The sheer audacity of the attempt? Or perhaps, in some profound, unquantifiable sense, was it a journey beyond the physical?
Did the act define the success?
Did the very act of dedicating their lives to something so vast and impossible, actually reaching those clouds, did that constitute a form of success, regardless of the ultimate tangible outcome? It leaves us with this lingering thought, this question. Is the true stairway to heaven a literal ascent? Or is it maybe the sheer unyielding will of the human spirit to attempt the impossible, regardless of the outcome?
Something for you to ponder.